We're on the air, so let's have a roll call, please.
Governor Rauner, Acting Secretary Erica Borgren, Chair Wolf.
Yes.
Director Bain.
Here.
Director Darcy. Director Dotson.
Here.
Director Gonzalez.
Here.
Director Peterson.
Here.
Director Vedic.
Here.
Director Sweeney. Director Wisner.
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Both Director Darcy and Director Sweeney had personal conflicts and were unable to attend, but we have a quorum, so it's not a problem. Thank you all for coming. We do have two people who are interested in making public comment today. John, is it Bachelor?
Bachelor.
Bachelor, just like the people who aren't married. Thank you. And Robin Celeste Sherman. So, Mr. Bachelor, I don't know if you've either observed us on camera or if you've been here before. We try to reserve our comments to maybe 5 to 7 minutes, and if you're interested in making, you know, having questions afterward, we can do that, but it's not necessary.
Okay.
Appreciate it if you go up to the podium. Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Well, Madam Chairperson, directors, well, on the internet, it said that 2 minutes, so I was planning on 2 minutes.
Oh, well.
To keep it brief.
That shows how much I know.
I wanted to talk about safety and speed. According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration data, about 90% of automobile fatalities consistently occur on secondary roads. Only about 10% happen on our interstate highway system. This 10% statistic reflects both rural and urban interstates combined. In other words, it's far more dangerous to drive to the corner grocery store than to go 80 miles an hour on the interstate. Thus, many of us have a common misconception that higher speeds on highways built to interstate standards contribute to a greater loss of life. There are several explanations for why higher speed limits do not correspond with more deaths. One is that variability of speed of the highway is more dangerous than high speed per se. This was the finding of a study by transportation economist Charles A. Love of the University of California, Irvine, published in the American Economic Review. According to Professor Lave, I'm not sure how that's pronounced, there is no statistically discernible relationship between the fatality rate and average speed, though there is a strong relationship to speed variance. When most cars are traveling at about the same speed, whether it is a high speed or a low one, the fatality rate will be low. Variance kills, not speed. Speed limits that are too low can be just as dangerous as speed limits that are too high. Eric Peters, a writer on automobile issues, explains the danger associated with lower than necessary speed limits. Sometimes higher speeds are safer because they reflect the normal flow of traffic, what highway engineers call the 85 percentile speed. This is the speed most drivers will maintain in a given stretch of road under normal conditions. When speed limits are set artificially low, tailgating, weaving, and speed variance, the problem of some cars traveling significantly faster than others, makes roads unsafe. A second reason that higher speed limits have not caused more deaths is that although posted limits have been raised across the United States, average speed traveled have only risen by 1 to 3 miles per hour on highways with higher speed limits since 1995. In other words, Americans were already traveling well over 55 miles an hour on highways before the speed limits were raised. Finally, enforcing the 55 mile an hour speed limit preoccupies the Illinois State Police from tending to more serious offenses. The main issue for myself and many motorists that use the Illinois tollway system is that we would like to have the right to drive at speeds legally that are higher and not have to worry about being pulled over. One final item of note, the speed limit for rural roads in Illinois is 55 mile an hour. Yet most of the Illinois tollway system is still posted at that same rate of speed. The disconnect here with having the same speed limit in these two instances should be apparent to everyone. It goes without saying that we all pay a good buck to use the Illinois tollway system. A reasonable speed limit is not too much to expect in light of all the safety evidence that I have presented. Thank you. Are there any questions?
Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you for the research. Appreciate it. Robin Celeste Sherman? Oh.
Morning, Paula, Christy, members of the board and staff. I'm Rob Sherman, and with me on this issue is Celeste Sherman, the perfect wife, perfect in every way, best wife that I could ever have. Ladies and gentlemen, for over half a century, the people of Northeast Illinois have been promised that someday the tollways would be free. Well, as you all know, the price of a gallon of gasoline has dropped by more than $2 a gallon in the last 6 months. According to your website, it would require a 9 cents per gallon gasoline tax increase statewide, or 11 to 12 cents in the 12 county area, 20 cents a gallon if you were to continue with all the projects. I propose, and I ask you to do several things. I propose that this is the time, ladies and gentlemen, to support converting the tollways into freeways by implementing a nominal gas tax of 20 cents a gallon in the 12 county area. Politically, people downstate, the legislators from downstate, they're not going to vote in support of raising the gas tax downstate. So it would need to be done here. But everybody feels that the people at the tollway, they're concerned about their jobs. So what I propose, since you guys have done such a fabulous job of maintaining roads and building new roads, I propose that the Illinois Toll Highway Authority be converted to the 12 County Highway Authority, where you will continue to maintain control of and operate the roadways that you've been operating, and continue with the rebuilding and expansion of the Jane Addams Tollway, the Elgin O'Hare Expressway, and have the funds to build 53 and 120, and maybe even convert US 41 Skokie Highway through Lake County into a southern extension of Interstate 41. I presume you're all aware that US 41 from Green Bay to a mile south of the Illinois-Wisconsin line will become Interstate 41 beginning September 1st. We could extend that farther south and then have that route continue all the way through Chicago and on into Indiana, where US 41 picks up there south of 8094. The proposal is to increase the gas tax and use that money continue to maintain and operate these roads and expand the roads. The reason that it would be important to convert the Toll Highway Authority into the 12 County Highway Authority is to make sure that the 20 cent a gallon increase in the gas tax would be used for this agenda rather than for other agendas, because if there's just a general state tax increase on gasoline, there might be other people out there who get the clever idea, well, let's use that money for a different agenda other than for roadways and these roadways. So what I'm asking you to do is to act quickly and at next month's board meeting to endorse the concept that Celeste and I are presenting, even if you don't necessarily endorse the specific plan, come up with your own plan. I'm also asking that you do an update to determine, is that the 11 to 12 cents per gallon to maintain the current system, 20 cents per gallon to expand the system, is that still accurate for 2015? Is it enough money to build the Route 53 and 120 projects? If not, how much more would you need for that? How much more would you need for converting Route 41 into an interstate highway? Talk to Governor Rauner. see if you can get his support. Ladies and gentlemen, this would be a boon for business. If we could get away from the problem of having to pay tolls, in particular businesses with semis, gosh, you can run into $100 just to go round trip from Wisconsin to Indiana, or from Beloit to O'Hare. So this would be great for business. I think the counties would support such a thing because it would be great for business. It would eliminate the tolls. And so bottom line is, I'm asking you to consider this as a serious and realistic plan, because with the price of a gas a gallon, price of a gallon of gasoline dropping $2.20 would hardly be noticed. For diesel fuel, maybe 5 cents a gallon, because the cost of diesel fuel is still 60 cents to a dollar a gallon more than the cost of gasoline. And also, you get about 30 miles per gallon in gasoline. And for diesel, you might get 4 or 5 miles per gallon. So you're still looking at about a penny per mile. So that's the proposal. I ask you to support that proposal. And Celeste has her comment on this issue.
I do agree with my husband regarding this issue. I think it's a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you. Notice how Celeste and I agree on everything. That's why we've been together for over 40 years. Thank you for your time.
That supports your notion that she is the perfect wife, too.
Absolutely.
My husband would have a problem with that. So we thank you, as always, for your creative vision. And I'm not sure we're the right policy entity to be considering that. I trust, as you always are, that you're talking to other entities as well.
I am, but many times when I go to legislative bodies, such as the General Assembly, they might come back and say, well, Rob, you're the only one that feels that way. Who else agrees with you? And that's why I'm asking you to look at the merits of this proposal. And if you would support it, then I'd say, hey, even the people over at the tollway, they support the concept. They may feel that the plan should be different, but I'm asking you to support the concept so I can go to the governor, which I will. I can go to the General Assembly, which I will. I can talk to people in the industry, trucking industry, and other transportation angles, and get widespread support that this is the time in the General Assembly by May 31st, so we can free the tollways on July 1st of this year.
Well, thank you. We, as always, will take this seriously and discuss it. My one reservation is I'm not sure we want the Green Bay fans coming down Interstate 41 to the Bears game. So that we've got to really
thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments on that? Appreciate it. So we just have a couple of matters here in the chair section. One is the approval of the board meetings for December 18th of 2014. May I hear a motion?
Motion approved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank you very much. And then, as you know, Illinois law requires boards to continuously review the executive session minutes that we have compiled after our executive session to see if any of the contents or those are now appropriate for release. That is to say that the need for confidentiality no longer exists. So you have received and reviewed the executive session minutes from April 09 through October 14, and we have, in fact, at the recommendation of our general counsel, suggested that some of these content, which prior to this had been confidential, can now be released. Are there any questions on that? May I hear a motion then to release those new sections of the executive session minutes, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay, thank you very much. Now we have two committees that met that we'd like to have the chairs report in on. First, we'll start with Chair Peterson for Finance and Administration.
Thank you, Chair. The Finance Administration and Operations Committee met on January 21st. We had one presentation. John Benda did a presentation on the new dynamic messaging signs with colors and pictures. Starting this year on the Jane Addams, the test is going to give us a greater opportunity to communicate with the more clearly with the public. The test will allow for the tollway to see what works and what doesn't throughout the district. with our patrons. The Federal Highway Administration, I believe, still has to approve this, but it's also an agenda item here. You'll see that we have approved the committee for the rehab work that involves the replacement of cabinets for the dynamic messaging signs. So it was a really good presentation and insightful. The committee also approved two finance items for the board's consent agenda. Committee approved payment to the state for group health and life benefits provided Solway retirees. The payment total is just over $3.9 million for benefits received in 2014. The committee also approved early redemption of Series 2005 A bonds currently scheduled to mature January 1st of 2016. Early optional redemption will allow the bonds to be paid on July 1st of 2015, saving the Tollway about $900,000 in interest expense. We also had a discussion on increasing the number of African-American contractors who participate in the ongoing 12 million 15-year capital program. We're trying to understand the obstacles that they face, and we're trying to help them overcome them. And it was a good discussion that we had, and tried to help solve that with diversity and with engineering and with the board and the finance committee. It was a good discussion. Engineering also presented 18 items to the committee that were reviewed and placed on today's consent agenda. One additional item for land acquisition activity will be discussed as per past practice in executive session prior to the board action today. The following is a summary of 18 engineering items on today's consent agenda. Seven items represent a construction contract awards. Three for rebuilding and widening of the mainline pavement and bridges on the eastern portion of the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway. These three represent the last of the I-90 2015 mainline work. There's approximately $174 million for roadway and bridge reconstruction and widening that'll be between the City of Elgin and the Kennedy Expressway that'll be undertaken. There also was one for the construction and widening of the Higgins Road Bridge and adjacent roadway over I-90. There was one for a small business set-aside contract for the addition of light fixtures in the salt barn located at the All-Sip Maintenance Facility on the Tri-State Tollway. There was one for rebuilding north entrance of the Tollway Central Administration Building, which would be done in accordance with the American Disabilities Act federal regulation codes for state facilities. There was also one for rehabilitation work that involves the replacement of cabinets, as I discussed earlier, the dynamic message signs and related equipment for 12 locations system-wide. There were three items that were in respect to change orders, extra work orders. One was an amendment of $219,674 to a previously approved extra work order to recover construction days lost due to weather and poor soil on this I-90 West contract. The final amount of $447,674 represents the actual cost as determined through our claims process. There was one to remove and replace the new approach pavements at the Elmhurst Road Bridge over I-90. This work is required to avoid further scheduled delays and to address settlement of the approach pavements. The cause of the settlement is still under review and for further discussion. There was also one to add quantity of granular backfill required for the retaining wall being constructed along the east end of I-90. The work is required to avoid further scheduled delay and will allow the wall work to proceed during the winter. The need to add the granular backfill is being evaluated as part of an error and omission, and we're still reviewing the status of that. Eight items involve final release of retainage for contracts and have been fully completed and accepted by the Tollway. Please note that the Diversity Department has added notes to the item summaries to explain any 0% involvement of DB subcontractors on these items. Excuse me. Thanks, Excel, for getting this to us quickly. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Chair Peterson? Okay. Chairs Reddick and Wisner, I don't know if you've divided up responsibility here.
Good idea. I'm going to do that next time. The Toll Authority's Customer Service and Planning Committee met on January 22nd. Tollway staff provided a presentation on tollway sustainability for the ultimate development and adoption of a tollway sustainability policy and operational sustainability plan. The presentation highlighted ongoing capital and operations sustainability initiatives. Capital initiatives included the development and implementation of the Federal Highway Authority Infrastructure Voluntary Evaluation Sustainability Tool, known as INVEST, life cycle cost analysis, and leadership in energy and environmental design, LEED, which I think most of us have heard of. At our maintenance sites and sustainable design and construction projects, including wetland mitigation sites, and the I-90-47 interchange. Operations initiatives included a system-wide energy audit, fuel reduction task force, and central administration building recycling programs. Staff highlighted that while a number of sustainable initiatives are underway and have shown benefits, there's a need for the board executive level commitment supporting both current and future initiatives through the establishment of a sustainability policy. The focus on the sustainability policy is to focus on the triple bottom line, maintaining environmental quality while operating in a socially and economically responsible manner. This effort includes adopting operating procedures to measure and reduce energy, fuel, and waste, continuing to invest in scientific research to guide decision making, and promoting policies that support or create economic development. Additionally, the adoption of a sustainability policy would call for the development of an operational sustainability plan. Elements of a typical sustainability plan were discussed. A sustainability plan would establish baselines of consumption, as well as develop goals and metrics for reducing consumption of annual electricity, natural gas, gasoline, diesel fuel, and road salt usage. In fact, road salt usage was an area of particular discussion with the committee, which urged further review of current practices to ensure efficiencies and research on the subject matter. It was also encouraged to determine if there are other means by which our roads can be maintained while still providing the same level of service. Upon conclusion of the presentation, the committee supported the advancement of a tollway sustainability policy. A draft policy was reviewed and was subsequently posted on the tollway's website for public comment and is there now. The policy, as mentioned, will call for the development of an operational sustainability plan that will be reported on annually, and the policy will be reviewed and updated every 2 years. Are there any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. I would just encourage any directors who have contact with groups that would be interested in this sustainability policy to encourage them to go on the website and to look and to make comments. I know all of you in your local communities do deal with groups that are interested in the tollways, environmental and sustainability work. So please make sure that people know that they're there, that it's there. I just have two additional comments. I always say this, but I commend to you this fourth quarter report, which is very thorough, rigorous, a lot of detail. You know, as we look at things within our meetings, we tend to bore down on particular things that are that we need to make decisions on right away. This is the big overview of the plan. It tells everybody where we are on all of the metrics that we've developed over time. A lot of effort goes into this, and it's a really important and good document. Everybody has one. All the trustees have one at his or her place. So I encourage the directors to look at that. The only other thing I'd mention is congratulations to Director Governor Rauner on his election. And I wanted to mention that Christy and her staff, Mike and his staff, have been working close with the governor's office, giving them an overview of our program and what we're working on. And they've worked very diligently and well with the elements of the governor's office to make sure that we're all in sync on this executive order and proceeding forward on our plan. So I want to thank them for the time and effort, both our team and their team, for the time and effort that have gone into that. Okay, Christy.
Great. So I only have just a couple of things. As a result of last week's FAO committee meeting and some of the discussion that happened there, our senior team here is working on an issue, on the issue of African American participation, particularly in our construction contracts. As I think we all have recognized in taking a look at the activity that we've seen thus far, you know, I think all of us would say that we would like to see more participation by African American firms, particularly in construction contracts, but any tollway contracts. So we are developing a targeted and specific plan to deal with African American participation and try to encourage more participation, both as primes and subs. And of course, diversity generally continues to be a priority for us. So I wanted to make sure the whole board was aware of that, and you can expect something from us in the coming months, hopefully before spring, to really target in on this area that we all know needs to be addressed. Secondly, I'd actually like to turn it over
May I just comment on that? I really appreciate the response of the staff on making sure that we are increasing the number of African-American contracts that we have, and just to make sure that we underscore the progress that the tollway has made over the recent years in this area generally in minority contracting has been very good, but we can always do better, and that's what we'd like to do. We have a new person who would like to testify. We're a little bit out of order here. Are there any directors that would object to having one more public comment before we begin on the rest of our agenda? Okay, let's do that. So Mr. Israel is here. Thank you for coming. Appreciate it. Wants to talk about the mentor protege program on construction. So thank you. Welcome to go to the...
This was not planned.
No, it worked perfectly given what we were talking about. And I want to remind you, we do have a camera, so you're on camera. Oh, okay, we have somebody else. Robert Baker. Okay. Any objection to two public comments? Okay, good. Thank you. Welcome.
Welcome. I just wanted to follow up from the last time I spoke here, and I know you guys said you were going to try to follow up. I know you have a mental protege program in professional services, but not in construction, and I was just trying to see was any more conversation taking place on that.
So that's that will be, I don't know if you, when you came in, but we were talking about some discussion that we've had at last week's finance committee meeting with a subset of this board. And we discussed specifically African-American participation in all contracts, certainly, but construction contracts seems to be an area where we see a need to really target African-American participation and think about ways to include more African-American businesses. And I think Gustavo mentioned at that time that one of the things that we are looking at developing is a mentor protege program in construction. So I think in the next couple of months, we promise to come back to the board with a presentation about this plan, and I think we can expect that an element of it will likely include that analysis and probably something having to do with the mentor protege program for construction, because as you said, we do have one for professional services currently.
Thank you very much.
So I hope you and Gustavo will talk as he's developing that recommendation.
And we'll maybe make sure that you know when we're going to be presenting our plan so that you can attend that meeting, if you'd like.
Well, that's what I heard you say. You can specifically say African-American, because sometimes you say they say you can't say that, but you guys can say that.
Well, we're going to, the plan that we're presenting is focusing African-American. I don't know that our mentor protege program would only be for African-American firms, but will be an element of something that, an overall program that we think we need to target a little bit more specifically, you know, the African-American participation. But I don't know that we would say the mentor protege program would only be available to one category of firm, but hopefully would benefit many.
But I think the general point is we're very eager to see the numbers in the African-American contracts go up. We're doing better in as pertains to other groups, so in terms of our goals, we want to make sure that we're focused on it.
I just woke up, I just wanted to try and dream it.
When you came at just the right time, so don't
Mr. Baker.
I don't think there's actually.
Okay, the fictitious Mr. Baker may be looking someplace. If he appears,
if somebody else wants to speak, I guess. Okay, so thank you. Perfectly timed, actually, as it happens. So now, I would like to introduce Director Wisner. Who has been working with us on an initiative that I'm going to turn over to him, the presentation of that initiative and introduction of a couple of additional speakers. So,
thank you.
Director/Mayor Wisner.